Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey friends, it's Monday night, and we're so glad you've joined us tonight on your show, Raising Expectations. We so look forward to being with you every Monday night and really look forward to hearing the things that you share, how God truly is raising your expectations in many ways as you put your faith and your trust in Him. So welcome to the family tonight. Great to have you with us. You know, if you're a guest tonight, we've had a really large amount of people checking on the program tonight on the different fronts that have come into me. So really, thank you for sharing with your friends. You know, if you're a first-time watcher or listener or both tonight, we're all born-again Christians. And you know what that means? We believe in God. We believe God is who He says He is, and therefore He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And we believe that He sent His only begotten Son, and that would be Jesus Christ, who gave His life that we might have life. He died on the cross, paid the price for our sins, and He's coming again. People always ask me, well, Joe, as a pastor or a Christian, why are these things so important to you? Well, because they're so pertinent to the world that we live in today. You turn on the news and you'll be glad you know Jesus. Amen? And when you stop, think about it, He has a plan for your life. So we know God's walking with us through Jesus Christ living within us each and every day. And the greatest part of that is we know someday where we're going. We can do, as our author tonight said in her book, we can anticipate heaven with encouragement, joy, and great anticipation to meet the Lord and those that we love. So we're glad you're with us tonight. Now that you kind of know about us, we're quickly going to take a trip through our folks tonight, and we're going to start on the West Coast so that you can, if you're first time on tonight, get to know our staff. These are some of the greatest people you'll ever meet in your life. I've been a pastor 55 years, started with Moses, I think. It's about that long ago. But this group of people are the most wonderful Christians that I've ever known in my life, and they're such a blessing in my life. I'm going to start on the West Coast, all the way back to Lompoc, California, which is right next to Santa Barbara, California. They're in Southern California. And right there we have Dr. Paul Hall. And Dr. Paul and I have been friends for 55 years. And Paul is a Bible scholar, a retired pastor. The pastors never retire. He's always helping people every single day, everybody who crosses his path. And he does a great work there, blessing and working and praying for and being an impact in the lives of people that he meets. He impacted my life 55 years ago, and he's been my pal ever since. Good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you, Joe. Thanks.
Hold up the West Coast. Yeah. There you go. Okay, and if you go from there, we kind of take a quick trip, Paul and I, together all the way to the East Coast, the south part of the East Coast, somewhere close to our south, and come together there in Georgia. You come to the famous metropolitan area of Dalton, Georgia, and there you're going to find two of our favorite people in the world. That would be Dr. Craig Thayer and his lovely wife, Stephanie, or we call her Steph, and Thayer's, and they live in Dalton, Georgia. Steph on the left here. Yeah, I'm going to invite you to look to our website very quickly. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And there you'll find our folks on the page and get to know a little bit about them. Stephanie's website there is incredible for what she does as a counselor, a supporter, a prayer warrior in the lives of many women across the nation. She does an incredible job, and her title is perfect: Live Your Life Out Loud. Like she says, when you know Christ is your Savior, it just comes out of you and your life becomes a witness and a testimony to people. And greater than that, she's a friend with so many people. And being a friend to people means that they trust her. because they know the Lord lives in her life. And when she shares and prays with them, they know that it's a difference maker in their life. So Stephanie does a great job. Check her resources there on her website, Live Your Life Rather Out Loud. And you'll find it right there on our website also. And check out the Quenching Well. I know my daughter in Ohio loves following her. And so many of her friends in her church do also up in the state of Ohio. So right there, you'll find on her left, one of our favorite doctors in the whole world right here, and that would be Tank or Craig Thayer. And she's done a great job on him. He's just come out. He's about the best brother we've ever known. And behind every great man, there's a great woman. I got that right, Steph? I got it down, right? So there he is right there. He is a surgeon. He's known all over for the way he takes care of people as a doctor, also as a friend. And they've been mission work together. They've gone on mission trips to the Caribbean. He's been to Africa, Uganda, I believe, helping people there in mission work. And so they're a tremendous couple. He is also not only a surgeon, but he is also an author. His first book you'll find on our website is called Saved. One Trauma Surgeon's True Accounts of the Miracles of His Life, Saved. Finding God in the Ordinary. And as he'll so often share when he and his wife share on our program and lead out in different programs, God works in the ordinary things of our life, not just the spectacular. And we live ordinarily every single day, and he's always at work. He's just a prayer away, and you look over your shoulder, he's right there because he lives in your heart. So Finding God in the Ordinary, Craig Thayer, Dr. Thayer, Saved is the name of the book, and you'll want to get a copy if you can get right off our website there. And right above, for time's sake, you know that's my book, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. You'll find it again. F-A-I-T-H stands for, as you know, acrostically speaking, Forsaking All, I Trust Him. The only way to live. Forsake everything except the Lord. Only what's done will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. So always remember that's there and you'll find your way. So you'll find us on the website there, a little bit about all of us. You'll find Dr. Hall there, the story of the things that he's done in his life, and you'll want to be a part of that also. So you'll find there that, there we go. I'm going to read that quick. Yeah, I got it. I got it. I'm coming back to you. So ladies and gentlemen, yeah, let's see here. Yes, that's right. Stephanie came up with a good one. What we have here on this program that we want you to know about, many of you have said this already, have heard this. We have what's called Paulisms. It's not the Apostle Paul, but they're close because Paulisms come from Paul during the week. And I like getting them on the phone with my old buddy when he shares with me. But you'll get some Paulisms tonight. So when you're taking notes in the show, write down Paulisms, colon, and get ready to write because it's going to be a good one for you. Thanks, Steph, for getting that in there.
You're welcome.
All right. Boy, I'm glad I took the speed reading course in the eighth grade and could keep up with
it. Yeah, she distracted me. That's okay.
Sorry.
I kept it going. That's right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're excited tonight because we have two of one of our favorite people that we've grown to know now, I think three or four or five times now on our program. She and her husband are just incredible leaders because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know that we have had Dr. Pamela Pyle with us in the past, and she is back with us here tonight. And I want to share just for a second, if I can find it again, because it comes up so quick on this program, as I, yeah, there we go. I've got everybody but that. You'll find
that I distracted you. We didn't.
Yeah, not a problem. That's what I get for bragging.
I'm so sorry.
She does that to me all the time.
No problem.
Partly because she's so beautiful. But
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hey, welcome to the family, folks.
Love hearing that.
More fun every week doing this. But you'll find that tonight's guest is a physician, an author, a speaker, and a thought leader. I thought that was intriguing, huh? A thought leader in the way she helps people. You can find her in LinkedIn and many other sources, but she blessed us a few months back when she came on and shared her husband, Scott, and she will be together with us next week sharing about things. I'll let her talk about that. But Dr. Pamela Pyle does an incredible job in missions and counseling and helping. And her book, Anticipating Heaven, which I got a copy too. You can get a copy of this book. It's great. You get a hold of her and she'll tell you later how you can get a copy. Spiritual Comfort, Practical Wisdom, and Life's Final Chapters. I love the title. How many times has a pastor, Paul, and I can say the same thing we've shared about this? We've been in a hospital with people. We run into somebody once in a while. We'll be like, she talks about, who says, as this lady said to her in her testimony to us, I'm going to have a good death. When you know the Lord, there's such a peace that comes about it. You want to look this up and find this, and we've got it on our website. Just get a hold of me. We'll make sure we get out to everybody. And Dr. Pamela Pyle is with us all the way from, again, near Salt Dalton, Georgia, not far there in Charleston, South Carolina. I think I said that right this way. That's how you say it. It's Carolina in the South. But she came from Southern California by way of Oklahoma, I think. So she's covered everything. She's been all the way through there and seen this. So without any further ado, we want to welcome our guest tonight, Dr. Pyle, with us. Dr. Pamela is another way she's known. She will just endear herself to your heart, the love she has for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to do this hand. We're going left to right. We're going to give you the world famous. We're known everywhere for this. Welcome. What is it again?
Round of applause.
That's it. Bam, come on. We got the round of applause.
To the left, to the right.
Okay. Yeah. No, always to the right. Always to the right.
Always to the right.
I do it wrong. Right. Wait a minute.
Never go left.
Right. 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Ron said, we never go left in anything on this show, but it's always right. But she had a great title to be sharing some with us tonight. And next week, you can even mention a word about that if you want, Pam, but maybe share about what you shared with me when we had our conversation about the burden that you had on your heart. So feel free to tell the people, we have a lot of new guests tonight, about, you know, what God's been doing in your life a little, and then maybe share about what was burdening your heart, because that's where we've been praying for you all week long. Thanks so much for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, guys. It's just a joy to be with you. And I just want to say to Steph, I so get you. I'm the one, and I've learned, I don't know how to write notes in the chats or any of that. And I'm always raising my hand, even in like settings where it's probably not appropriate to raise your hand. Like, I want to talk, but I'm like, yeah. Go back to that little girl. And it was so prominent that at one time, you know, and I'm trying to call, politely interrupt my husband to make sure the story's right, you know. And one time he was on a trip with John Maxwell, mission trip in Guatemala, and I went in there, and he was retelling our story, and he got to a point that he paused, and he's like, I don't know how to finish the story, because usually Pamela interrupts me here with a raised hand. But you know, that's what good wives and beautiful wives do sometimes. But thank you. And I am excited to be with you all. And we could talk.
You're on mute. And Pamela, I agree. I do. I get so excited. And it's not that I mean to talk over people, but I do, right? And so I'm so sorry, because my ADD brain, when Joe was introducing Paul, and then he moved to us, and I was like, you know, Paul is so wise, and he has plenty of stories. And so I sent everybody a group message and said, we need Paulisms. And then I distracted everyone. And so I am.
Oh, that's wonderful. No problem. Yeah. That's wonderful.
We all need Paulisms in our life. I think you could probably write a book of Paulisms for all wisdom that we need.
That's right. Amen.
And great supporting wise.
Yes.
Yes. We mean well. Just remember that. Well,
so us Christian listeners, and when you're yoked, really you're two oxen with a call around your neck. We drag each other through whatever else is. If I'm going through something, she's dragged with it, vice versa. And we're there to support each other. So.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
Two oxen with a yoke together.
Being yoked. You know, the yoke.
I can find some other than an ox.
So wooden collar, man. Point.
Sorry.
Bad.
I can't call an ox.
It's biblical, but yeah, that's okay.
Okay. You know,
I'm sorry, Pamela. Sorry, we get off track. Sorry.
A relational revelation that my husband and I had. Neither one of us were Christians when we got married. And we began our marriage almost like a civil union. And so it's a contract that you have. And as we know, many marriages end in divorce. And we came to know the Lord after we were married. And So we began to live with the understanding that this is a contract, a covenant that could not be separated. But we are both, much like probably each of you with spouses or significant others, where you can be very driven and run in your own space within that circle of the covenant. But it was about 3 years ago that we sat down and really realized how often we run both in good directions, but not as one flesh. And so rethinking what does one flesh really look like? And we're not separate people. And it was 30 years into our marriage that we weren't having problems. We were still in that covenant relationship, both love the Lord. But it's been just a sweet, sweet thing to be able to really understand one flesh, and what you shared, Pink, is a very good descriptor. Thanks.
Amen. Well, do you remember the title of I had it on here. In fact, if you have what I sent out, I wanted to get that title just right for you, and I've got it right here. We had a
Was it, we had one title when it was going to be Scott and I, and then he had an unexpected work trip. It was going to give, but realizing how much more we receive when we're on mission.
Yes. And
And then
the
we
other one
also
you
talk
mentioned,
about
yes.
health equity.
Healthy qualities. That's it, Dr. Pam. Healthy qualities between people group. Health inequalities between people groups. That was it, yeah.
Yes. And I that really has been a mission of mine since my first mission trip in 2009 to Rwanda. And what I saw during that first time, and I had never been to a developing country, and at that point Rwanda had overcome so much of the devastation from the Hutu genocide against the Tutsis. But there was still this experience of working in a church, seeing patients that had walked for miles to see the Muzingu, the white doctor. And it was very hard to come from a background of acute care, working only in hospitals, where every amenity for a doctor to diagnose and treat is at our fingertips. And yet, I was seeing patients that, whether it was due to availability of resources or lack of ability to pay, that common things that would easily be treated here were left untreated. And it broke my heart first. And it also inspired me to come back and dream of where that church was, that we would one day have a clinic. But it really also gave me a perspective of, in general, the inequality between different countries and different people groups with respect to medical care. And health inequality is, to me, is one of the depravities of human existence. We should all have access to good food and good health and opportunity to explore our faith. And so that was kind of what inspired me to come back and feel engaged and motivated to return. I fortunately was connected with Africa New Life Ministries, which owned the church and the campus where this dream began. And our founder, Dr. Charles Magusha, he is just an exceptional visionary. And while at that time, the ministry was primarily child education and planting churches, he always had a vision for understanding that healthcare is a common basic right. And so he, you know, when I asked him, do you have any thoughts about this? It was already in his dream, and he's a big dreamer. So it helped to partner with someone who is also a dreamer. And then, you know, when we have dreams, they're often human-sized dreams. But if we're listening to God and explore what his vision is and be willing to wait, there was a lot of waiting. His vision was so much bigger, took so much longer, and ultimately became an incredible hospital, one of the largest in Rwanda, that is state of the art. And it's only because God brought not just me, but his other people that he placed the same dream in. And then wanted us to grow in the process of waiting. And I'm sure y'all understand the growing that comes from waiting. But it just became a place and is a place that is known. It actually sits on a hill above the city. It's known as a place of excellence and a place of faith, and where all people groups can go and get good medical care.
Man.
It's always amazed me, you know, most of my trips have been to Honduras. And one time we went to what was considered a big hospital, it was probably 130 beds. And you just take for granted what we have. I mean, it's like the first case I did was with their surgeon who looked like a teenager to show them how to do a laparoscopic gallbladder surgery. And I didn't know his training. I didn't know how far along. I didn't want to insult him. So I just assumed he was just like me, and then realized they don't do very many because they didn't have or know how to set it up completely.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was a miracle case. It's actually in the stupid book that not, sorry, not stupid book, but a book that I wrote. So just I downplay it. It's just humility. So, because it's a God moment, right? So, but I mean, literally, it was an hour and a half surgery. Lady was being followed by a couple of kids that were internists, and wow. I would teach them, look, I, you know, she's got a looks like an ileus, but I don't know that she needs an ultrasound. And so I see her later that day, and she looks completely horrible. And then I find out, yeah, well, they have X-ray in the hospital, but they wasn't there that week. And so she rode on an enduro, a motorcycle, for an hour and a half to a facility that could do the ultrasound, and then an hour and a half back on the back of this small dirt bike.
Oh my!
Yeah. The nasogastric tube to normally be hooked to suction on a wall was just a tube that was to gravity, meaning it's just a bag, like a urine bag, right? So I'm like, this is a completely different world. We
yeah.
take so much for granted.
What I was interested in when you first saw the topic, I was anticipating and well, actually I was kind of nervous because I thought you were going to take another angle here. I'm glad you did though. So with that, I want to ask the question. So when you hear people in the United States talking about health inequality or health inequity, what's your thought?
I think It's very prevalent here.
Yeah.
I'll give you an extreme example. There was a recent magazine article in the New Yorker, and it was written by a journalist who followed probably the world's most well-known anti-aging expert. And there's a lot of studies around the world in clinics like his that are all about increasing not only lifespan, but healthspan. But after reading it, I was so like saddened because essentially there's this group of the uber wealthy, and even we'll say the top 2% of Americans could potentially afford only one of these types of treatments. These people in Silicon Valley and the scientists weren't talking about providing affordable treatments for the general public. They were about spending billions of dollars in this area to help what is essentially a few, or the elect, if you want to describe them that way, to reach lifespans of 300 years. And I find it very interesting, as well as sobering, that it is the same group of people that are about social justice, but health inequality is an extreme example of social injustice.
Right.
And whether it's an anti-aging treatment or even just medications for someone that might have a low income, middle income salary and can't afford their medications. And this is deeply affecting our older population, but it's also affecting those that are earning just enough that puts them above a Medicaid availability, but not enough to pay for the standard of care in medicine. And that discrepancy is getting wider and wider as certain treatments become more expensive, particularly in areas of cancer care, lung care, and elsewhere. And we have to create a system that provides care for all. And that's going to take more than just our government. It's going to take almost a global movement from the grassroots up of demanding equal care, and big pharma participating in equal care.
So is it a function of government involvement, over involvement, insurance companies, policies and practices, pharmaceutical companies, or a combination of all four sectors?
It's really all of the above, and I'll put in there legal practices and not having tort reform. So a lot of medicine is birthed out of being legal is legal avoidance, being sued, and that creates a trend of more tests. And one of the things that I really advocate for is for patients to get the best care, they have to become their own best advocate. And that requires education, because they're not going to hear it necessarily from their doctors who are overwhelmed and getting paid less, they're certainly not going to hear it directly from the government. But there are resources and there are ways to find those resources that are better than just Googling Dr. Google.
Let me ask you one other along that line too, because I get a lot of people I know. Well, I'll just say up front, I got about four doctors in our family, extended family, and a few friends that are doctors. And I'm still friends. I still love them though. More so than the lawyers. So one of the questions, one of the complaints that folks talk about is how much doctors charge for procedures and and things and so forth, right? So, and then the other one was how much they pharmacies charge for medication. And one is, see if you could address this, or maybe you're in Craig. One of the things they don't get is, for instance, I know one doctor, her malpractice insurance that she's required to have would be mind-boggling to most people. And then
Why
you
don't you
ask
give
them.
that amount? Because I'm sure Craig's is probably in his role as a trauma surgeon has to be hundreds of thousands of dollars. That would be my guess.
It
Yes, six
is.
figures.
It's funny. I spoke at a Rotary conference once, and that was the question: is why is the fees for office visits not the surgeries? Because we charge for office visits too, so we kind of get both. Why is it so high? And I said, well, actually, I sat down and I did a calculation for any new patient. That's when the liability begins. So I calculated the new patients and divided that by how much I had to pay in malpractice, and it was close to $100 a patient just to see you to cover the insurance.
Nothing else.
Nothing
What
else.
kind of, what kind of price we look at malpractice insurance coverage?
Right
What
at
kind
six
of dollar
figures.
amount?
Right
Huh?
at six figures.
The two things that will raise mine anyway as a surgeon are trauma and breast surgery.
I think the only other specialty that's higher is babies, right? Because
Probably the highest is neonatal,
yeah.
neurosurgeons. They're high.
That's one of our friends. She's a neonatal surgeon and
Yeah,
specialist,
and neonatal,
and
there's
she's
neurosurgeons that do neonatal. Yeah,
because no one can accept that a baby dies, right? And
yes, yeah.
so you put the culpability on medicine, which is
And
not
she, and
appropriate
she has,
most of the time.
yeah,
Yeah.
and she has to have millions of dollars in insurance. And you look at her insurance premium, it nearly make my head explode.
Oh yeah, and then you have an
Yeah.
umbrella policy, and depending on your
Yeah.
state, like when we were in California,
Yeah.
there's nothing you can do to protect yourself. There's no arm's distance. It's very costly to be a physician, which most people
Yes. Yeah.
don't
And
realize.
people don't, they don't get that.
They don't
The
make
other one is interesting experience here is that I tell you, my mother-in-law lived with us the last few years. Well, there was some medication left over, and then there she has some medication earlier that had expired, and I'm going, that's a lot of money to be throwing away. So I discovered, and unbeknownst to me, that there's a mission organization here located where they take medical equipment, medications, and things that are expired here that we can't use, and they take it to Africa and other places. It's so legally they can't somehow can't sell it here, but we can take it and give it. I mean, they take truckloads of it and ship it overseas to be used.
So
And
in
so.
Honduras, they open a tray, and I'm not medical, but they open a tray in the OR, and once it's exposed to the air or whatever, even if it's not touched, that tray is trashed. So it's still, a lot of them are sealed in the packaging, whatever. They would just set them aside, and so they would give them to Craig, and we would take them on mission because they can be utilized in Honduras, right? Different, they wouldn't allow expired medications in Honduras. Different countries allow different things, but it's funny because when you talked, Pamela, I thought, oh, that's so interesting because I have a different view. And not that your view is wrong. I think they really could both be right. We moved across the country and I needed to establish our boys with an immunization record that was in this state. So I took them to a pediatrician And we have insurance. At the time, it was very high deductible. And a lot of people would be shocked. We have not had insurance for many, many years. Medical people are very expensive to insure, very expensive, like 40,000 plus a year for a policy that's a $20,000 deductible. So we show up and we got $450 bills for each child to move a medical form from California to Georgia. And I was furious. And the up bills and the up charges, because I know I used to work in his practice, completely unacceptable. So my choices are to either pay it or to turn this physician in, neither of which I like. I don't like either of my options. I did pay it and I did not report because I know what the reporting would do. I will tell you, when they needed an immunization done, we went down to the county facility for $21 and they gave us a full record and they said, if you would have come here, we would have done it for free. What is going on?
I will say, Ron, I did this that trip that I mentioned, the we were in the hospital. I did the laparoscopic gallbladder surgery. I did ask the team going, I said, look in your medicine chest and find out what narcotics you have that have expired. And give them to me. And then I realized, no,
Don't give
I'm gonna
them
be trafficking narcotics across
to
borders. That's
me.
probably a crime. You bring them with you and then you give them to anesthesia, distribute them to the patients, so I'm not involved.
I guess I would say when I first started naively in medical missions, we also did the same.
The same thing.
Then I read a book by a public health professor at Baylor called When Healthcare Hurts. And it talked about all of the negatives that occur with short-term missions without really caring appropriately, both in the short term and the long term. And so creating a vertical model of intense care, but you have to have a horizontal model of long-term care.
It's all up there.
And just like Honduras, you can't bring in medicines that are expired. And I don't really think that we should, because again, we're creating an environment that says it's not good enough for us, but it's good enough for someone else. It's much better to negotiate with drug companies, medication companies, to give from their pre-expired medications.
Yeah, makes sense.
And then going back to how much doctors appear to make, the truth is that medical provider incomes have been coming down actually rather drastically to the point many can't afford to pay their education once they become a physician or a PA, a clinical extender, which is a nurse practitioner or physician assistant. And part of the issue is there's payer models that the government sets how much can be charged for a surgery. And while that surgery gets a certain amount of coding in terms of, okay, it was a gallbladder surgery in a hospital that is a 55-year-old, and this is how much you should get paid. That 55-year-old may have all sorts of complications that the doctor is paid for that one surgery, but is still seeing them through the complications. And so it's a system that's extremely broken. I'm not sure I have the right answers, but I do recognize that we have to make significant changes, and I feel like that is coming. That's one of the reasons my husband's in Washington, is to talk about bringing changes in big ways to how we do government.
And speaking of Washington and government, you and your husband were in the office of some big guy there recently.
That's right.
I hear.
Funny
But
here about that.
tell us
Yes,
about that.
we were. We were invited to a White House luncheon for the that was through the faith office. We work very closely through the faith office in this administration, and they're very President Trump and the cabinet and the leaders of our Congress, and in particular Paula White with the faith office. They are wanting to make significant change and to bring private money into the public square of and private voices into the public square of how to do it well. So that particular meeting was bringing Christian business leaders together to talk about how to do that. It was fun. I'd never been to the White House, and I was kind of a goof. And only President Trump would have his painting of, raising his depiction of him raising his arms. And I have to say that my favorite paintings, though, were of President Kennedy, and they were just exquisite.
Wow. Well, I'm jealous. Well, not jealous, woman. I had a chance to go to White House, but I wouldn't go because of somebody who's in the White House, and now I kind of regret it.
Yeah, I'll be back there Thursday. I would go no matter who invited me, if I felt like if there would be a something that I could add value.
Yeah. Well, that was back in the day. My friends told me how crazy I was. You still should have went. They're going, it's Bill Clinton, though. I couldn't be. I can't.
So, no, you can
Steph,
still
you've been
come.
an idea, Steph.
You can
Steph had a
still
problem.
come. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm always looking for faith leaders.
There
They
you go.
have a voice. I
Oh,
am a
wow.
Trump supporter, but I
Yeah,
will
go
also
ahead,
say that there's a segment in the Big Beautiful Bill that I think will drastically hurt rural hospitals unless something changes. You're probably aware of it. And the details are fuzzy, but it's basically Medicaid programs. So different states have them called different things. But there's sort of a subsidy that goes out to these rural hospitals based on how many of the care that year was that place. And if nothing changes, it's one of the cuts that was in the Big Beautiful Bill. It will slaughter rural hospitals, and it's a real concern. He's always been a rural surgeon, so he's done multiple specialties, and it's a concern, right? So the big cities won't be impacted. And so there's so many moving parts to all of these different things that we do. And I do agree that people deserve good care, and it shouldn't be based on your income, the type of insurance you have, the country that you've been in, or, right? And it's heartbreaking because the realities are that's not the truth. And so, how to figure out, and you were talking about Medicare reimbursement, and it is, it's a very, very broken system. It's a very odd system. And most people that come with a solution just look at one thing like, oh, big pharma or insurance or lawsuits. And really, unless you look at the totality of it will not be solved.
And I guess that was one of the point of my question is to show just all the different parts that are conflicting and broken, and how it's this big monster that no one gonna get a handle on.
It's a
So
big
what
monster, but we're one of the few countries in the world that you can get the kind of care you do and the kind of time that you need. And that, we're one of the places that you can, if you're sick, you can go to an ER and be seen. And even if you get a big bill, and I'd love to share this with your audience, you need to negotiate, what that bill is, because if you have insurance, for example, and an MRI of the brain, you're charged on your bill $2,500, which is what your insurance company is charged. The insurance company pays a very small portion of that, and you're often caught in the middle of the difference. If you'd gone and had no insurance, you only would have been charged $700.
Correct. And so people come out of the hospital,
healthcare is the first or second, depending on which poll you read, is cause of bankruptcy. The other one that they flip back and forth is losing your job, and then have healthcare issues would be the worst.
Say that again to them, because I think it's an important point. I didn't have health insurance for 8 years, and I always negotiated. It was shocked me when I first started. Someone wanted $500, and I walk out after paying $200. It's like, and I'll tell them I'm self-paying. Well, the price, well, it's 180. Explain that to the people.
That's 180 that if you'd been able to get out the door, it probably would have billed you the 700 and would never have gotten the 180. So they're so willing to negotiate. And even if you already have a big hospital bill, you can still negotiate with, I can pay $25 a month. And it may be that you pay for the rest of your life $25 a month, but that's an amount you can afford. But also negotiate, how to get the total bill down. It's surprising what you can bargain with if you are creative enough.
We've got wow, this is something. What a topic, huh? Thinking about this, we've got 5 minutes here. We'll be back. I'm
Wait, of the
glad
whole
to come back.
show?
Yeah, glad to come back next week. Yeah.
I feel like we have gotten
I know.
Paul's been
But
awfully quiet.
it's Whitney's fault. She distracted you.
Paul, that's where I'm
Well,
going.
I
Paul, we need a
need a
Paulism.
Paulism.
We need a
Paulism.
Paulism.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Paulism. No, can I just let me just say something real quick, okay? And maybe a Paulism will pop up. I'm not sure. I watched RFK, who's the Secretary of Health and Human Services, and his bantering back and forth with one of our senators. And it was to the point of absolutely ridiculous, from what I was listening to the senator, the point that she was trying to make. And I'm going, gee. And then he bounced back saying, well, how is it, paraphrase, how is it that you can get a kickback, my word, of $900,000 from Big Pharma for what you're doing? And I'm watching this person, and many say he's not qualified to speak, but he sure is bringing up some interesting things. And whether or not you agree with his politics, it's like peeling the layer back, and you're looking at just corruption upon corruption upon corruption, and it breaks your heart, because where do you start? You know what I mean? And I'm thankful, Dr. Pam, you talk about the things that are happening in the faith community and things like that. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Okay, here's the Paulism. I was in the White House visiting when my daughter was in 8th grade. I was kind of standing, leaning back against a wall, not touching the wall because I didn't want to get in trouble. But this guy came up, and I was standing there, and I had a Star Trek communicator on my jacket, on my bush jacket. I'm just having fun, live long and prosper. And this guy came up, and he had a little earphone in his ear and a little curly thing going back. And I'm thinking, he must be important. And so he walks up, and he touches, he said, he touches my communicator, and he says, beam me up, Scotty. And I just looked at him, and I said, you do not know me well enough to be touching my communicator. And they handcuffed me, led me on. They didn't do that part. But I think it's important, as we talk about important matters like healthcare, people are people, and they have incredible needs. And of course, I would like to think that we would acknowledge their greatest need is Christ. He's the great physician. He's the greatest healer. And he transforms and changes lives. And to bring the witness of Christ to somebody who's so desperately hurting, whether it's a matter of they can't pay their bills or they're not getting the proper medical care or, you know, whatever that may be. But I have profound respect for you, Tank, and Dr. Pamela, that, you know, as you travel to these places, because I know in your heart it's more than taking care of medical needs. It's touching people's souls. And that's eternity. That's eternity. And so I just wanted to thank you for that, you know, because some of us will never get that opportunity, you know, to do that. But we may go to the White House and Secret Service touch our communicators. That might happen.
We all have the ability to share our faith.
Oops.
Yeah. That is the greatest medicine and the greatest gift.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, Nick, we're gonna do something different next week. I think we'll all say, sounds like a plan.
Live long and prosper.
You get arthritis in your little finger and you get short circuited a little bit on it, but not here, but in the So anyway, next week we're going to just have everybody wave, and as TJ our engineer brings on, you're going to give your name across the country, so you already know us. We're going to cut back on our time and go straight in to our special guest, so that we can start criss-cram boom at 6:05, and we will be with you at that time because we just ran out of time. So yeah, and hey Steph, you got 30 seconds. Can you do
okay? If you need to know about us, we're at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That's all you need to know. Go right there, bbsradio.com/raising expectations.
There it is.
Amen.
There it is. It's all there, folks. And our guests will be there next week. Dr. Pam, thank you so much. Dr. Pamela, appreciate it so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so is it counterclockwise or clockwise?
Either way.
To the right. To the right. Always to the right.
Always to the right.
A lot of my life in Boy Scouts. This is from Scouts.
Being a doctor, you could do it like Tank, and you could be really fancy. Go
I think it's one side of the equation.
Is it like, you know, where you pat your head and rub your stomach?
I never could do that.
I can't do that either.
Paul, you can lead us in that next week. You probably got that one down.
I never became a surgeon. I was never ambidextrous.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're so glad you tuned in tonight. We count it a privilege to have you with us. And TJ, we want to thank you, our engineer in Houston. And we're just grateful that you're with us tonight. And you're in our prayers. Come back next week. Tune in right on the spot like you do. We're going to have Dr. Pamela and her husband, Scott, Lord willing, with us. And pray for them in Washington. And we will take a little time next week to pray as they lead us for what we've been talking about tonight. Because it's a deep burden we need to be praying. So, thank you so much for being with us tonight. God bless you. You got 4 more days this week. Just waiting to see what God can do in 4 days. Look at him every day. Thank you, Dr. B. Thanks so much. See you next week.
Yes. Bless you all.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.